I want to read some from the 29th chapter of the book of Job, if you've got your Bibles, and talk with you just a little bit. I've got some people that's going to be baptized. Somehow they've got put off. Something I never do as a rule, but they've got put off and they haven't been baptized yet in the name of the Lord. And we're going to have to baptize them. They want to be baptized, and we're going to have to baptize them. And Brother John over here is one of them. It's very unusual that we put him off like that, because I usually don't do that at all. Let's read, to start with, let's read some from the 28th chapter here. These go together, and let's just read a little bit. It don't hurt us to read a little bit of God's Word, so let's just read a little bit of God's Word. Always keep your thoughts right. I always remind you of what Brother Branham said, where the Lord made him to know that your thoughts speak louder in the Spirit, that is in heaven, than your words do on earth. So always watch your thoughts. God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. Have virtuous thoughts, holy thoughts, great thoughts of faith, and God will do great things for you. If you have thoughts of doubt and despondency, God will, your life will be filled with defeat. But if you have thoughts of faith and confidence in God, then your life will be filled with great things. The 28th chapter of the book of Job, at the first verse, surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molded out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitants, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelp hath not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearl, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept closed from the fowls of the air? Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof, for he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me and I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongues clave to the root of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear, and waited, and kept silence as my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them, and they waited for me as for the rain. And they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laugh on them, they believed it not. In the light of my countenance, they cast not down. I chose out their way and set chief and dwelt as a king in the army as one that comforted the mourners. This is Job speaking. And if you notice, the thing that Job pointed out here was that wisdom is better than gold and silver. It's obvious that you could not find it, he said, in the ocean. He said you cannot find it anywhere in the rivers. You can't find it among the mountains, among the trees. No place to find it. You can't find it in college. You can't find it in school. Job said it's not to be found there. But he went on to explain that if you want understanding from God, there is a way that you can have it. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, Job said. To fear God is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding, Job said. So then, according to Job's statement, you could go through college, have all kind of great degrees from college, and still be like many hundreds of thousands of people and not have any understanding. Is that right? Many hundreds of thousands of people that's gone through college, they don't know that departing from evil is understanding, and they don't depart from evil, so then they don't have any understanding. And the fear of the Lord is wisdom. They do not fear God, therefore they do not have any wisdom. They are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so then I'm thankful tonight that as Solomon summed it all up, so did Job. To fear God and keep His commandments is the entire essence of the whole matter. All right. Now, Job tells us these things, and we are made to understand that wisdom is a great thing. Paul, in his day, he spoke about it. He pointed out how great and mighty wisdom is and what we need. Why then should a man seek fine automobiles, fine homes? Why should he seek prestige out in the world? Or why should he go looking for something out in the world when the Bible teaches the greatest thing of all is wisdom? Why should I desire diamonds and rubies? Why should I desire the things of this world when I have at my fingertip wisdom? I have made up my mind in my lifetime that wisdom and understanding is the best thing that I could have. Solomon one time prayed to God. He said, God, give me an understanding heart. And so God gave him an understanding heart. And the Bible said his wisdom so excelled that it passed all of the people of the world, because he asked God for one thing. That was an understanding heart. He did not ask God for wisdom. He just asked God to give him an understanding heart, because he knew that he had to judge the people of God. And he said, Lord, who's able to stand before such a great people and tell them the things that they need to know? Who has the wisdom? Who has the ability to do that? Solomon said. And so then he stood in God's presence and he said, God, give me an understanding heart. The Bible said it pleased God so much that God gave him great wisdom that surpassed the wisdom of all the people. And that it pleased God so much that God gave him great riches and honor and fame and power throughout the world. I remember one day, having read and understood that, one day I felt the call to the ministry. And I knew that I had to preach the gospel. And I went before God and I said, Lord, I'm an unlearned person. I'm not able to preach the gospel. I don't have the ability to preach the gospel. Like Moses of old, Moses said, Lord, send somebody else, and I can't do it. He said, I'm a man slow of speech. And God said, Moses, who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? And I said, Lord, I can't do it unless you do something for me. What must I do? And the Lord took me to those scriptures, and I began to read where Solomon asked for understanding. And the Bible said it pleased God, and I began to pray. And I said, now, Lord, the Bible said you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it pleased you in that day for a man to ask for understanding to guide your people, then if you're the same, it will please you today to do the same thing. I said, I'm not asking you, as some of them have, for the gift of healing. I'm not asking you for the gift of miracles or the gift of discernment or the gift of tongue or some great ministry whereby I can tell people their thoughts. I'm not asking you for riches and gold, silver. I'm not asking you for long life. But God, I'm asking you for one thing. I said, give me understanding. Give me an understanding heart that I might guide the people of God and know how to come in and out among thy people. For I said, God, I am not able to speak to these people. I just can't do it. And God opened my heart and God gave me understanding. And I said, Lord, when I stand before the day of before thee in the day of judgment, this was the way I felt in my heart. I thought, God, what will I do? I just cried and was so tore up. I said, what can I do when I stand in the day of judgment and I've told somebody something and then there we will be at the judgment? I said, and then I've told them wrong. And I said, that person will die and go to hell and I'll be to blame for it. I said, oh God, what can I do? And he just tore me all to pieces. And then I began to pray the more. And God gave me understanding. He began to open my heart. He began to bless me. He began to make my cup run over. And I began to realize, as Job said, that understanding and wisdom is worth more than gold and silver. It's worth more than rubies and diamonds and pearls. There's nothing to be compared with it. The sun and the stars, the moon and the ocean. There's nothing that's to be compared with wisdom and understanding. So then, folks, what we need to do is call upon God that God might give us understanding and that we might be able to testify the gospel and witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. Aside from these things, the only thing that I really pleaded with God for was that God would give me charity. I saw that charity was the bond of perfection. I read to you here in the book of Job where the Spirit of God, the Bible said, it searcheth out all perfection. God searcheth out all perfection. That is, the Spirit of God is not satisfied to know as you know. It's not satisfied to understand as a man understands. But God must have the peak of understanding and perfection in all things. He delights in everything coming to perfection. God has put diamonds in the earth. He hath put men in the earth to dig the diamonds. He hath put men in the earth that can cut the diamonds and bring them to perfection. He wants nothing less than perfection in cutting of the diamonds. He hath put builders in the earth that they build houses. He wants those houses to be built to perfection. He doesn't want those houses just built anyway, just to make a dollar. It displeases God when God brings up a builder and he's interested in nothing but just making making a dollar. He should be interested in his work. He should be interested in humanity. He should be interested in the people that's going to live in that house and make it one of the very best houses that's possible. Even if it costs him more than it does the other builders, God will raise him up and bless him in the day to come. If you work on a job, no matter what you do, you must do it according to perfection. And if you are going to do something for God, you must do it according to skill and according to perfection. The angel of God came to Daniel and said, Daniel, I've come to give thee skill. I want you to be skillful in knowledge and in understanding. Is that right? Skillful in knowledge and in understanding. The Bible said that if we are not skillful in knowledge and understanding, then we are babies and we are still on the milk. Is that right? I've come to give you skill, the angel said to Daniel. I want you to be skillful in knowledge and in understanding. And Paul, in the Revelation, he tells us that when we fail to have the skill, that we are babies that must remain on the bottle. I would speak unto you as spirituals, he said, but I can't speak unto you as spirituals. He said, because you're still babies on the bottle. This is my disagreement with a lot of the evangelists that's in the world today. I'm not in disagreement with the evangelists as far as preaching the gospel. I'm not in disagreement as far as shouting and praising the Lord. I'm not in disagreement as far as bringing divine deliverance and the gifts operating in the church. But I am in disagreement with them in that many of them place no, they don't look to God to give them the skill and understanding and place no value on wisdom. And I disagree with them. Paul of old healed the sick. He raised the dead. But he placed the greater value on understanding. We are not to place the greater value on miracles and place the greatest value on discernment and place the greater value on some kind of gifts that we might draw somebody's attention and that somebody might flatter us and say good things about us. That's not what we're supposed to do. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The understanding, the devout Word of God. In the beginning was the knowledge of God. In the beginning was God, the eternal Spirit. A great mind, a great understanding. And that's what we're supposed to place the value on, is the mind of the Lord Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, in that he is made in the image of God. Let this mind be in you. Why should that mind be in me? Because if I do not have that mind in me, I cannot be translated and escape death. See, Jesus' ultimate purpose in the earth was not to work a miracle, though we need the miracles. It wasn't to have a great ministry and get a great following. His ultimate purpose in the earth was that we might have the abundance of the Word of God, that we might have life filled up and overflowing. And what is life? He said, my words are life. That we might have the abundance of the Word of God, the words of life. Let me tell you, his words are spirit and they are life. It's God's purpose that we be transformed into the very image of his Son, Jesus Christ. If you, in your Christian life, have any other plan, you are wasting your time. You are running as one that beateth the air. If you're trying to come to the place to build a great tabernacle or a great building or a campground or something of this type, you're wasting your time. If you're trying to get some kind of gift to be some great person, you're wasting your time. If you're trying to get a church to get an income, you're wasting your time. If you're trying to get a big tent and tractors and different things to where you can be on television and radio, you're wasting your time. If you're trying to get a big following and have thousands of people to attend your meeting, you are wasting your time. And not only are you wasting your time, but you're wasting God's time as well. So then, what is our purpose? Our purpose is to preach the gospel, to teach people to conform to the image of the Son of God. Is God's interest in me being a great preacher? Is his interest in me being a great somebody, or is God's interest in his people repenting of their sins and being like Jesus? Where is God's interest? Is God's interest in me being some great minister with some great big ministry in some great tent and be on 1,000 televisions? Is that God's interest? God's interest is in saving humanity from a burning lake of fire. So then, if it's God's interest to do that, then why isn't it my interest? If it's God's interest to save humanity, and if he's interested enough to spill his own blood at Calvary, why isn't the evangelist of today interested in saving humanity instead of excelling and being some great somebody out in the world? You love Jesus? It certainly shows one thing, and that is that the ministry and God isn't working together. But I can assure you that the true ministry of Christ is working right with the Word. Paul said, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Don't preach ideology. Don't preach experience. It's all right to tell about some experience you had, but that doesn't do it. I can go hunting, I can go fishing, I can do all those things and tell you about it, but that doesn't suffice the soul. What I need to do is preach the Word. Whatever the Word says, that's the words of life, is what Christ brought. So then if he come that I might have life and have it more abundant, I need to preach the Word. A lot of times I get into the revelation of Christ. I want to get into the mysteries of Christ. Rather than exalting like I'm doing tonight or preaching to it, I'd much rather excel and get into the high places of God in the mysteries of Christ and get under the shadow of the Almighty to get into the secret places. But again I say that if we are not skillful in the Word, if we are not applying ourselves to the Word, if we are not applying ourselves to the book, then we are not going to have any interest in God's Word. I can't have any interest in God's Word as long as my interest is in me. You can't have any interest in God's Word as long as your interest is in making money. Some of the young girls come here, they have no interest in God's Word because their interest is in some boy. Some boy comes here, can't have any interest in God because his interest is in some little girl. That's no good. What you need to do is to seek God. Ask God to give you a companion. You don't need to seek a companion, but seek God. The Bible said if you're not married, don't seek to be married. Whatever condition that God finds you in, remain in that condition and seek God and then let God add to you. Now, if you're called being a rich man, then don't seek to be poor. Just let God lead you. He'll tell you what to do. If you're called to be, if you're a poor man, have no money at all, don't try to be rich. Just seek God. God will tell you what to do. See, the Lord doesn't want us following after the things of the world. He doesn't want us following after each other. He wants us to follow Christ. See, Christ is example. Now, he said, well, Brother Pike, don't you think I ought to follow you? As I follow Christ, you ought to follow me. If I don't follow Christ, you ought not to follow me. If there's some place in my life where I deviate from Christ, you shouldn't follow me. You're foolish to do it. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I want the wisdom of God. I want the understanding of God. I want the power of God in my life. I believe God has put the power of God in my life. I believe God saves under my ministry. It's been proven through the years. I believe God heals under my ministry. It's been proven through the years. God has told me men's hearts. Give me the thoughts of their hearts. He's given me visions. I've seen visions, and God has let me have everything that I could want. God has blessed me with riches. He's blessed me with health. He's blessed me with happiness. We've been able to reach out across the nation, into the islands, into the foreign fields, overseas, carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, but see, it's like Bill said today. We was looking at the map up there today, Jim, and Bill has the map pinned off in so many different places over in Europe and different places of the islands and around the world. And Bill said, Brother Pike, everywhere that I've got a little red pin on the map, he said, that's where I've been able to get the tapes from the ministry at Little Bethlehem into. Now, but Bill said, Brother Pike, don't you think that some people just go overseas just to
just to crow about it and say, well, I've been into so many states, I've been into the foreign fields, and I've been into the mission fields. So don't you believe they do that? I really do. I believe that they do that. Not only do they do that, but some of them is in such a condition of hypocrisy that they will take pictures or have pictures taken of some of the poorest people in those areas out in the mission field and bring those things back to play on the sympathy of the people, to bleed the people to death and rob the people that they might have fine automobiles and fine homes and be able to vacation with their money. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't want to do that. God forbid that I do that. Now, I know the Bible speaks of ministers where it said that they bring about heavy burdens, grievous to be borne. And they laden the people with those burdens. And they themselves would not lift one iota of it with one little finger. I don't want to be like that. I want to be able to do whatever you do. Share whatever you share. And I want to get in and go with you, and I want you to get in with go with me. But it's a true fact that we've got to do something for God. The wisdom of God teaches us there is a job to do. A man doesn't have much wisdom when he sees the church struggling and he lives next door to it and he's not doing anything. He doesn't have much wisdom if he don't come and give a helping hand and do something. He's foolish to set off somewhere and think that God's going to do something special for him when he won't even as much as dig a ditch for him. How foolish can a person get? Somebody said, well, you don't understand. I'm fasting and praying. That isn't what God told you to do. God told you he wanted obedience. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge? That's what Israel did. Israel fasted, Israel sacrificed, Israel gave goats and cows and everything unto God in sacrifice. God said, I'm sick of that kind of thing. I'm sick of your solemn assemblies. You call great meetings and get together, have protracted meetings, and some PhD gets up and indoctrinates you month after month. He said, I'm sick of that kind of thing. That I'm sick, I'm weary of your fasting. He said, I want you to obey me. Do what I tell you to do. The obedience of God is what he wants. That's why we need wisdom. That's why we need understanding. That's why we need the love of God. So that we can understand. You know, you can just be filled with knowledge and be puffed up. How do you know that? Knowledge, puff it up. You can have a lot of knowledge and just be puffed up and think you know something when you don't know a thing. But what you need is charity. Something that will edify your soul. You need something that will edify you and break you down and cause you to be humble. Did you know that if you want understanding, if you want wisdom, then seek charity and God will edify you. Did you know that? And bless you if you will seek charity. But if you can't have a charitable attitude, if you can't follow after charity, Paul said one place should follow after charity. I show you a more excelling way. If you want the great wisdom of God, if you want the gifts of God, if you want the advantages and presence of God, he said, I show you a more excelling way. An excellent way. A more excellent way, he said. A more excelling way. I show you a better way to do it. I show you a way to excel when the others are straggling and dragging around and can't get to what they're after. I'll show you how to excel. He said, follow after charity. Is that right? Do you have charity in your heart? How do you have charity in your heart tonight? See, if you have charity, charity will edify. Charity will build you up. Charity will tell you what you ought to know. Charity will tell you to seek the wealth of another. Charity will tell you to look on the things of another. Charity will tell you to esteem others better than yourself. Charity will tell you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so Paul said, I cannot talk to you as spirituals. I would that you were skillful. But he said, everyone that is not skillful in the word is a baby. Come on now. Paul the apostle had had the revelation. He excelled in God. He had the revelation. He knew what the church had to have. He knew it was founded on spiritual revelation. Said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Did he do that? Paul said, everyone that is not skillful in the word is a baby. He's a babe. Said the only thing they can hope for is a little milk. Isn't that right? Let the baby stay on the breast, nursing the breast of El Shaddai, which means the breasted one. Let them nurse. Let them have the milk of the word, Paul said. A lot of Pentecostals are shouting and jumping and running, and the preachers are preaching to them. God is with those people, but they're just babies, that's all. Just a bunch of babies jumping like jumping rope and shooting marble, that kind of thing. It's spiritual. It's God blessing them. They're getting the milk of the word. But folks, many hundreds of those, you can confront them, and you'll find out they hardly know anything about the Word of God. Did you know that? Did you know that there is millions of people in the Catholic Church? And did you know out of the millions of people, including their priest, they know nothing of the Word of God? Did you know that? Did you know that the Pope of Rome or the leaders of the Catholic Church doesn't even allow the priest to know the Word of God? I read the life of a priest not too long ago. How that he finally got converted and come to God. How he got a hold of a Bible and read it. Said he knew that it was against the rules. It was against the leadership. For they were told that they could not do that. But nevertheless, he found God somehow or another. God brought him to him by getting a Bible. See, the wisdom of God brought him around. You understand what I'm saying? How in the world can people like that lead other people? How can a priest lead people when he doesn't know anything about the Word of God? How can he tell people anything? You know why they do that? The Pope of Rome is the leader. And they want that thing to where one head has control of everybody. That person gives out a little passage of Scripture, and week by week or month by month, they send it down to them, and that's what they thrive off of, and that's all they know. And that's all the priest is able to tell them, is just what the papacy of Rome sends down to them. But what we need is God. What we need is Christ. What we need is the wisdom of God. The understanding of God. Now you say, well, I've gone too far to get it. Perhaps you have. I don't know. Maybe you waited too late. Maybe you was too stubborn. Maybe you have gone too far. I don't know. I hope you haven't. But I'll tell you one thing. You would be surprised at what God would do for you if you submit to God, get away from rebellion, get away from the things of the world, get your interest off of the flesh and into the things of God. You'd be surprised what God would do for you. Let's seek the things of God. Job said you cannot find wisdom in the ocean. You cannot find it even though you have great pearls and diamonds, though you have great rubies, though you have great wealth, though you have great education. Yet you cannot find wisdom, Job said, because it is with God. And I say this again, the Bible said that eye hath not seen. Now, if God said, I have not seen, then it means that I have not seen. I don't care if they've got 10 million books and 50,000 colleges. It doesn't make any difference. If God said, I have not seen, I have not seen. I have not seen, he said. Though they have millions of teachers that's talking every day. The Bible said, ear hath not heard. Tutors in college or wherever, high school or whatnot, God said, ear hath not heard. Not only that, but men who seek, men who search, men who are scientists or whatever, the Bible said, it hath never entered into man's heart at any time. Through all of the scientific ability, not one time has it ever entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. All right. Where is your Bible scholars? Where is your PhD? Where is your great science and men of learning? You mean to tell me that all down through the years, not one time they've run across it? The Bible said the eyes of the vulture has never seen it. The lion's whelp has never crossed the path. Nobody has ever come to it. All down through these years, you mean to tell me that with all the scholars and all these things, and never at any time hath it ever entered into any preacher's heart, never into any person's heart, never into any great professor's heart, never into any great scientist's heart, never, not one time. Out of all your preachers, out of all your science, out of all your tutors, never at one time hath it ever entered into their heart. But God tells us that He hath made it a revelation. He hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit. No tutor can tell you. Nobody can bring you to it. But Christ can revelate it to you. See, for He hath made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. Now, why is it that nobody has ever gotten it? He said that God has said it abundantly and above all that we're able to ask or even think. Your professors can think all they want to. But the Bible said God has put it far above all that they can ever think. Man can think and meditate all he wants to, but God has put it above all he can think. He can fast, he can pray, he can beg, he can plead, he can do whatever he wants to. He can read the Bible every day from cover to cover. But not one time will it enter into his heart. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, for He hath revealed it unto us by the spirit of revelation. God will reveal it unto us if we'll become humble and submit ourselves as little babes. God will reveal it to us from heaven. That wisdom that you can't find in the ocean, you can't find in the seas, that which is not to be compared to pearls and rubies and whatever. God will reveal it unto us by His Spirit if we will humble our heart and come into the presence of God with thanksgiving. All right, you love Jesus? Now, I want you to stand with me. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I'm always in remembrance of one thing. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But we who are children of God, we have passed from death unto life, and we have escaped that appointment, in that the Bible tells us that God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death. Now, we are loosed. We have passed from death unto life, according to the Holy Scriptures. The Bible said, He that heareth my words, believe on him that sent me, he hath passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. Now, you say, Brother Pike, does that mean, do you mean to tell me that they're never going to put me in a box, they're never going to have my funeral? No, that's not what I'm telling you. Because when he said they passed from death unto life, it means that they will not go into what the Bible refers to as the second death, which is the lake of fire. They have escaped death. To God, death is eternal separation from God. When you are separated from God, then that is death. Now, so then, what it means is you will never go into the lake of fire. Your eternal destiny is sealed. You are a child of God. You are eternal. You cannot perish. You cannot sin because you are born of God. Amen. You cannot come into the judgment and into condemnation. Now, because that has to do with eternal separation from God, we can never be eternally separated from God. How do you understand that? The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which was manifested in Christ Jesus at Calvary. He showed such great love, He secured us forever, right there. Now, but according to the Holy Scriptures, it goes beyond that. See, the Bible teaches it goes beyond that. We are living in a different day. How do you believe that? Living in a different day. What kind of day? Like this new earth. The man that's born of the flesh is the old earth. But when we come into the new body, we are the new earth. How do you know that? See, made out of the dust. The Lord from heaven. There is something different. Now you say, Brother Pike, you say that we pass from death unto life. That's right. See, we're dead in trespasses and sin while we live until we're born again. Our spirit leaves this body because this body is buried in death. It's buried in water baptism in the name of Jesus. Accepting the death of Jesus as our atonement, we are buried with Him. Buried in the likeness, Paul said, of His death, resurrected in the likeness of His resurrection after the new man. Is that right? So then we pass from death unto life. We're free from death. And ye are no longer men, ye are gods. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. But you met the appointment at Calvary through Jesus. You died one time unto sin. You can never die again. Therefore, you are free from sin and from death. Is that right? Have you got just a minute or two while I close out here? The law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. I want to bring out a thought right quick. The law of sin and death hath a man in bondage because of the natural elements of life. Is that right? The law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? The law of Moses. Sin gets its strength by the law, and sin is the sting of death. But if the law is over, if the law is folded up, if the law is laid away, the Bible said Jesus folded up the law, laid it away in His flesh. That which is old is passed away. If that is over, then you are free from death. Because you cannot transgress the law, and the transgression of the law is sin, and the sting of death is sin. If you cannot transgress the law, then you cannot sin. He that is born of God cannot sin, the Bible tells us. If you cannot sin, then you cannot die, because the sting of death is sin. The law folded up, taken out of the way. The transgression of the law is sin. The law folded up, taken out of the way. You cannot transgress the law. You cannot, because there is no law. There is no law. It's folded up, taken out of the way. Jesus fulfilled it. So you cannot transgress it. If transgression of the law is sin, you cannot sin. If sin is the sting of death, if there's no transgression, there is no sin. If there's no sin, there is no death. O grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? You say, but Brother Pike, it says that we shall not all die. It goes farther than that. It says we shall not all sleep. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. When he went down to the grave and they put him under the dirt or put him in the tomb, there in the hewn out rock, Betty and I went over and went down in the tomb of Lazarus and saw right where he lay, way down in the ground. When they put him down there, he was cut off. He was cut off. He was gone. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awake him. Did he awake him? He did. Did he awake him in his spirit or in his body? He woke his body up. His body come walking out of there. Isn't that right? When Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. What is the mystery? We shall not all sleep. Not all sleep. That means that, as I said, the understanding that God has given the church in this day, Paul said, now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God from the heavenly places. Now this wisdom that God is giving us, like in the vision the other night, the knowledge that He gave, He said that in the vision He showed that death and hell would melt away before it. You understand what I'm saying? How do you believe that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death in his body? In his body. All right. He could not transgress the law because he was born before the law. Isn't that wonderful? I cannot transgress the law because the law is in the past. I was born after the law. Come on now. Amen. You don't believe that? Sure, it's right. He folded it up. He laid it away. And it was justified by faith. So am I justified by faith. And it was translated by faith that he should not see death, the Bible said. So then the Bible said God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. We've been translated that we should not see death. Why? Pass from death unto life. Is that right? Never come into condemnation. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. All right, it's a wonderful salvation. It's a wonderful God that has done it. It's such a wonderful experience. It just makes you glad all over. Isn't that right?
I feel better all over than any other place, don't you? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, for they shall walk and never faint. Just teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, just to wait. Don't you love Jesus? You know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Wasn't that his purpose? And that more abundantly. Ain't you glad we're learning the secrets of why he came? Ain't you glad we're beginning to share in that life that he wanted to share with us? I've come to tell you that you don't have to die, Jesus said. I've got life abundantly filled up and overflowing. You don't have to die. You don't have to sleep. I've come that you might have life. That's my purpose in the world. I died at Calvary. My purpose was that you might not have to die. I tasted death for every man. You don't have to die. You can just wait on me and renew your strength. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Be a God. You don't have to be a man. The Bible said, I've called ye gods, but ye shall perish from the lack of that wisdom that I was talking about tonight. Let's get the wisdom of God and not perish. The faith of Christ must come from the mind of Jesus. Is that right? If I've got my human mind up here, and that genders a faith, a human faith, that makes me believe that I can get up and go and drive and work, then there must be a faith down here that comes from the mind of Christ that makes me believe that I can do heavenly things. Is that right? Let's get that mind. Let's get that thinking. Let's get that understanding. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds into the mind of Christ. Can we do it? And the faith of Christ will come from the mind of Christ. Can you sing it again? They that wait upon my Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk but never faint. Just teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Sing it again. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord. Are you waiting on Christ? Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you waiting on Christ? Sing it if you're waiting on the Lord. Are you really waiting on Him in your spirit? Are you waiting? Are you waiting for some special thing to take place? Are you waiting to accomplish something in life? Has the devil got you sidetracked and detoured? Or are you waiting on the Lord? To wait. Sing it one more time. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, just to wait. Don't you want to wait on Jesus? I'm going to have to take a few minutes now and dedicate the baby here for Ray. And then after that, we're going to let you go. The little one has never been dedicated. I don't know just how old the baby is, but he's never been dedicated. But we want to take time tonight and dedicate him. Do you appreciate Ray tonight? How do you appreciate Ray tonight? You appreciate him? You know, God is mighty. How do you know that God is mighty? Like a great, great steamship passing through the waters. Powerful and mighty. God is powerful and mighty. You can be powerful and mighty. You can be healthy. You can be healed. You can have strength bubbling up like a fountain on the inside. Great and mighty strength ever bubbling up on the inside. Energy that only Christ can give. You say, how can you do that, Brother Pike? They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Do you ever feel tired? You ever feel weary? Brother Gonzalez, sometimes in Mexico, I've seen him so weary, looked like he couldn't hardly go. But he'd wait on the Lord, and the next day he'd be coming out like a young lion. They that wait upon the Lord, you can get new strength, new courage. Brother Fontaine, it's real. It builds up. God will give you new courage. Don't try to figure it out. See, they that wait upon the Lord, God will give you new strength. If your heart is weak, God will strengthen your heart. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm getting old, you know, and I can't have that kind of strength. But did you know Caleb was about 80 years old? Moses about 80 years old. Abraham, 70, 80 years old. Older. But their strength was like a young man. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to be feeble. Don't let anybody tell you that. As you get older, you don't have to be feeble. You don't have to be old. Renew your strength in God. Renew your strength in God. And get up and do something for Jesus. Will you do it? Did you know? Not too long ago, Sister Betty was reading a book. And in this book, it told about a man was about, I guess he must have been 65 or 70 years old. And this man all of a sudden decided he wanted to be a missionary. Think about that now. At that age, he decided he was going to be a missionary. And the book stated that he left his homeland, went over into the foreign countries, and according to the record, it was absolutely baffling and astounding at the great and mighty work he did in the mission fields and in so many multiplied mission fields, and become one of the greatest missionaries perhaps that we have ever had. Think about that. Don't that make you feel like doing something for God? Don't that make you feel like doing something for God? What's days and numbers and age got to do with it? Do something for God, my friend. Do something for God. All right, we're going to dedicate the baby. Can you bring him up here, Ray? He'll let me hold him. Me and him's acquainted, okay? He come down to the house to visit me once in a while. It's okay. It's okay. Let's just bow our heads together and pray. Father of heaven, tonight as I hold this little lad in my arms, I'm reminded of the days of Samuel when he was taken up to the house of God and given to the house of God, dedicated to the Lord. Father, you gave this little one unto Ray into the family. And oh God, tonight he gives him back unto thee, O Lord, that he might be thine. And oh God, that you might watch over him all the days of his life. Father, when he's hungry, feed him and take care of him through life. He is yours, Father. Watch over him, and when his enemies raises up against him, oh God, cause him to flee before him. Dear God of heaven, make his enemies thine enemies. Help him to be tutored in the understanding of God. Cause fear and complex to move far from him. Heal his little body when he's sick. Make him strong. Protect him when the evils of the enemy comes in upon him. Keep him all the days of his life that he might be thine at the end of the way. Bless Ray and the wife. Lord, that they serve God and teach him the ways of God. In Jesus' name, amen. They shall walk and never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Brother Roger left a little note tonight that he was sick. Let's pray for him. Let's lift your hands. Will you do it? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal Roger tonight. Heal. You're the healer. You're the great spirit, the only eternal one. We're very small in thy sight, Holy Father, and we ask forgiveness of our own sins. Heal Roger tonight. knowing that thou hast taken away our sins at Calvary. Encourage Roger's faith to believe in the supernatural tonight. Help him to lift up his faith. I believe. Heal in Jesus' name. Heal in Jesus' name. Heal in Jesus' name. I feel him doing it, Roger. Father, as we pray for John tonight, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to encourage John's heart. Help him heal his body. Make him strong, Jesus. Help him to be strong in faith, believing and trusting in the power of the Almighty God. Heal and forgive. I ask you to do it in the lovely name of Jesus. Hallelujah.